Okay, here we are. Good to see you there. And I knew there wouldn't be a massive crowd because I've flaked down on so many Wednesdays that even though if I say I'm coming, I'm not. But I've been on a Wednesday night for I don't know how long. So website's out there. We got the video going. I have discovered the thing that wears me out the most is the video. It takes way a lot longer than it used to make a video out of the pinnacle thing that I have. Then to make it into, in fact, I still need to do it though because I got those guys I send the DVDs out to. Then to make an audio off of that DVD, and as compared to Mark's, I guess, it just takes a long time. So we'll look into some of the issues I'm concerned about, some of the bugs that we need to get rid of. But anyway, here you are. We're here tonight. And this is what I'm going to call quack when I got my coffee here. And actually, it's coffee and hot chocolate mixed. And I can't taste the coffee, so it's mostly hot. And it's dark chocolate, of course, the kind that's healthy for you. And quite a day today. This is my fourth day, I think it is, fourth or fifth day, that I have felt as good as I still feel. Now, here we are today. It's end of a day, and it's a Wednesday, and the kids are challenging today, and so I'm tired from that. But I had energy throughout the day, and enough that I really got on the kids and kind of preached at them a little bit and kind of worked it. So that's good. I was in my music class, and I was able to explain to them the characteristics of the classical era. I guess they're going to listen to some things here pretty soon, and I know they're not interested. And I told them that. I know you're not interested. So there's two reasons you're not interested, kids. One is it's melody. It's harmony. It's rhythm all balanced. And you've been listening to nothing but rhythm all your life. So I explained to them the offbeat, 2 and 4, the anapestic beat, how it gets your physical body excited, but your mind just doesn't have anything to do with it. And you just like the rock, the physical, the beat. That's what you like. That's what you'll follow. You're not interested in any harmony. You're not interested in any emotions. You're not interested in any mentality, thinking about these pieces and what it takes to write them. But we're getting into that a little bit. And the second reason I told them I'm not interested in this kind of stuff is I said, number two, is you can't. You're a kid. You're a teenager. Then I explained to them again, probably the second or third time, about how the medical world has stated that kids until they're 20, in their 20s, their thinking part of their brain is clogged up with a cloud. It's not developed yet. And they kind of laugh at that. You know, hey, that's a scientific medical discovery and a conclusion. I said, but if you want to go spiritual, Moses didn't hold anybody accountable when they went across the desert. You all know about the desert crossing, right? To the kids, you know. A couple of them did, you know. The Lutherans knew about that stuff. But I said, even God didn't hold you guys accountable. So we talked about that and some other things. Had a good time with him about that. So we talked about knowledge. I said, you guys are being in a school system, in a school world where they are not teaching knowledge. Teachers do not stand in front of a classroom and teach you anything. We help you try to understand and get a grasp on some things and blah, 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 blah. But we're not teaching you anything about knowledge. Then I told him that the order of brains is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You get the knowledge, why? And they're like, what are you talking about? So you go through school, you get your knowledge, you get as much as you can learn. You get into college or wherever you get into, apprentice school or just life out there, you're getting close to 20, you'll probably start putting some understanding together with your knowledge. But your wisdom stuff won't come, and good understanding and some wisdom won't start coming to your 20s and 30s. So just sit back and let me put some knowledge into that brain and da-da-da-da. So I was preachy. I was preachy. And I use the Bible. I just lately have been a lot, I guess. I don't quote references. I just say a book that I know, and they all know what I'm talking about. And the book that I love more than anything else, and then I say something, and they know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you, the schools, I hate to say they're dying. They're already dead, but they're really putting a coffin on top of that thing with this new Common Core stuff and the way they're doing it and taking away knowledge and all that. So we'll talk about that a little later tonight. Anything else going on? It's good to see Gary there. I'd like to see the Gary NC there. That's good. And, boy, I tell you, Mark, I struggled with that website the last couple nights, trying to shift everything over to 2014 and make a new folder and get the stuff into that folder. Yet the stuff I put into that folder, some of it's not in there, so when it pops up, some of the pictures are not there because it's not in the 2014 folder. Duh, right? And I couldn't even find the main page for a while. That main page, the very first opening page, goes back to 2000. Well, it's either 11 or 12 is where that page is located. So I need to shift all that up into 2014, and I need to, you know, da 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 da. But anyway, I was just getting grumpy. I couldn't find it, and I was tired, and, you know, all that kind of thing. But it's there now. 2014 is there. There's a few changes on the front cover, just on the basic first couple inches of scrolling. I've got to get the sermons lined up for, I think it's 2012 and 2013 into one big long list. So I got some stuff I got to work on. I really do. But it's there. You can click on this big picture, and it takes you to the sermons for 2014. And there's one big sermon right there. And we'll put two on there after tonight. So, nothing else going on if you're still there. Let's jump into what we're going to talk about. This is Quack Night, you know, questions and unexpected answers with coffee and keyboard or coffee in the kitchen or, you know, anything that fits the K there. And I had a good friend. Yes, I do have a good friend, actually. Lives in Washington. Oh, by the way, I found out, this is months ago, I might have said something about it because I forget everything anymore, but a couple months ago I found out that there's two other guys from the church I was at there. I don't know if I should use the word secretly, but they're quietly listening to these sermons and they have been quietly checking out the website and the whole thing. That's what those guys promised me when I left. Remember that, Mark? They said, listen, we will still support you. We will still listen to you, do your preaching and your sermons, and we'll put them on the screen, and we'll still pay attention. We'll have this coast-to-coast, almost. Well, Ohio really isn't too close to the coast, but you know what I mean. Coast-to-almost-coast Paul preaching, and they didn't do it. Well, a couple of them are back with us. They just kind of don't want anybody to know back there. So, that's interesting, huh? But I still got some good support from a couple of guys. They're good. They're more consistent with their financial support, and they're better than anybody out there, just about good people since we left. There's still some good people back there. Okay, I know what I was doing. So I got this friend in Washington, and he wrote me a text the other day on my telephone, and he's involved with the Bible study out there. I'm hoping he's going to listen to this. I hope you're there, sir. I told you I wouldn't mention your name. I don't think that matters to you, but I just won't do it anyway. And I hope you're listening to this later, like in the week or whatever. I'll try to keep it short because I know you're young and you're busy and you're in the state of Washington and you want to go snowmobiling and shooting and all this kind of stuff. But you've gone into the play mode of your life, right? But this guy that I wrote to, he and I went hunting together. Nah, I shouldn't say hunting because I never really hunted. In fact, I don't think I ever even shot my gun when I was with him. He's the one that, I wonder if I can say this. He shot himself a buck or a doe. I don't know what the deal. I don't know how you do that, Washington. And he and I hauled this thing up Mount Everest about three-fourths of the way. And then, LD, if you're listening later on, do you remember I called you and you said, whoa, you can't have that. That's the Eastern Count. You have an illegal shot there. So we just dropped the thing and I couldn't say took off and ran because we were going uphill. We just crawled uphill without this 1,000-pound critter behind us. So we had a good time. And he was a pastor and he was with Paul. He was with us on the Paul thing, but I couldn't get him to go over to the other side of Paul only. And when we talk now, I hear more Paul coming out of his mouth and everything, but I still sense that he or you, you're listening, I know you are, this is what you're missing. Because here's what was written to me, it's what he wrote in his Bible studies and stuff. There is nothing new or applicable to today. I see the end getting closer and closer. It's like you can see it wrapping up. Those were his comments. And right away, I just thought, yeah, see, that just proves, that just shows me that you just haven't jumped off that. You're probably like standing on the next second or third level of the fence, just getting ready to jump off to the other side, and that's the side you need to be on. And it made me think of some things. And I didn't want to sit there and text 50,000 words on these little bitty phones. So he said, there's nothing new or applicable to preach today, I guess. I think he meant to preach, you know, to talk about. He sees the end getting close. He has some very interesting stuff about Avril Shimon or Sharon or whatever. Been in a coma for 8 years, and he's coming out of it or whatever, you know. And he could, meaning he could possibly be the Antichrist or something. That's possible. But just the general sadness was, what's there to preach? What's there to teach? What's there to say? None of it's applicable today. I mean, we're just in a disaster. And he said he sees the falling away coming closer and closer, based on Paul. So you were good there, Big T. Just like you can see it wrapping up. And surprisingly, I mentioned to him Romans 11:22. Remember that? Romans. We'll talk about that one probably more this coming Sunday. Romans 11:22. And it's talking about when the Gentiles are... See, now, I don't think he's heard me preach this. I don't think he's heard me really teach what this thing says. So if you're listening now, later on, Mr. T, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Okay, now, behold, both of those. On them which fell severity, but toward thee, we got to stop. Thee, is that an individual person? It's singular. No, but if you go back to the verses above that thing, he is talking about the Gentile nation. Because he says about Paul up in verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Okay, so this is referring to severity. Obviously, it would be the Jews. Okay, but toward thee, Gentiles, parentheses, I added that, goodness. So we know that Paul is the only one that teaches about the goodness of God. There's some good things to learn about God with the apostles. There's some good things to learn about God in the Old Testament. But the goodness of God, as it's referred to in other places, is referring to Paul. He's the only one that preached the goodness of God, and the only people that heard the goodness of God preached was to the Gentiles. So, but toward thee, the Gentiles, the goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. So if you want to continue in his goodness, you got to stick with Paul. Yeah, you can read the rest of the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's Scriptures, but it's the history of the Jews. Yes, you can read 1st, 2nd Peter. You can get into 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. That's just all Jewish. That's tribulation stuff. Yeah, you can get into the Gospels, but that's still Jesus teaching stuff to the Jews, where he just flat said, don't teach this stuff to the Gentiles. Now, why would he say that? Because he knew anyway, I'm going to get crucified, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to go to the Gentiles with something even better than you guys are getting. So don't go yakking to the Gentiles of what I'm preaching. I've got a different message for them. Right now, they're still hanging on by their conscience, which is why Paul says, our conscience is seared. Who's that? The Gentiles. Because all through the Old Testament, all through the Gospels, a Gentile, which was what the word heathen was referred to, they based their whole entire thing on their conscience. They didn't have to follow the law. The law in the Old Testament wasn't given to the Gentiles. It was given to the Jews. The Gentiles had the conscience. God gave them in their Romans chapter 1, I think it's 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. I mean, these guys were born with what they needed about God. They just knew that there was, but they rejected all that, Romans chapter 1. Okay, so not to get off on this bunny trail thing. So back to verse 22. If thou continue in his goodness, in other words, if you in your day-to-day life continue in the goodness of God based on Paul, what's the goodness of God? Operation made without hands, spiritual circumcision, if you want to call it that. That's the goodness. Why would he do that? He didn't have to do that. We just put our faith in him. He gives us his faith. That's the goodness of God. Romans chapter 6. You can't sin anymore because Christ fulfilled the law, so there is no sin to sin. We got bad things we can do, and yet Christ even takes care of that at the judgment seat of Christ. That's the goodness of God. Grace, mercy, long-suffering. You know, he gives us... That's the goodness of God. But with the goodness of God, he says, listen, reasonable service, the reasonable thing you could do is you could look to Paul for your walk and your ways and try to live by those. You're going to suffer persecution, but the persecution's not from God, and I'm not making it happen to you. And some of the persecution you're going through is because you just screwed up down here on this earth and you just did some dumb things and you know, that's I bet you most of our challenges and persecution is because of us. Everybody just blames God. Where is God? Why did he let me buy this? Where is God? Why did I lose my job? Why would he do this? He didn't do that. Okay, anyway. He says, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Okay, so if nobody's interested in the goodness of God, which we are starting to realize that really is true. Everybody out in the crowd says, amen, amen, amen. We all know people that don't want to hear about it. We hear Christian friends that don't want to hear about it. Nobody talks about the King James Bible and modern Bibles hardly anymore. At least, not that I've been around, but I don't see it as a big issue anymore. Okay, what was I going to say? But the Bible, no, okay, my mind just went kadoing. So, okay, nobody wants to hear about rightly dividing, and if they do, they rightly divide based on their artistic guru, who they pick and choose verses. While this verse is referring to the millennium, while this verse obviously has to be referring to us today, and half of this verse goes to the millennium, half of this verse, what are you talking about? What school did you go? Oh, I know what school you went to. Let me see your fingers. Yep, I knew it. You got chalk on them. I know where you're getting this stuff. Yeah, I know. And you're talking like him. And you're offending people. And where it says in Romans 14, where it says in Romans 14, 20, for meat destroy not the work of God. And he's not talking about cow or lamb or pig or anything. He's talking about the meat. For what we know, we put that on these people that are weak in the faith or not even saved. They don't know what in the world we're talking about. You really think that God would cut your soul? Then they would say, you really think you got a soul? You think God would cut that away from your flesh and he wouldn't even, you can go out there and, you know, kill a man, all this kind of stuff, that whole kind of talk? They don't get it. Well, the reason they don't get it is because nobody's preaching it. Another reason they're not getting it is because nobody's living it. Well, what's there to live? You can do the right thing without being a jerk. You can do the right thing without judging somebody else, which, by the way, is another sermon I want to do. I hate it when people say, well, you're just judging me. Oh, I get tired of that. I had somebody say that the other day, that tried to walk a clean walk for many years, and suddenly is kind of letting it slip a little bit, and said, well, you're just judging me. Oh, how in the world could you tell me that? I'm just saying that this is what the scriptures say, but it's the right or wrong thing. You do what you want. If it's good, it's right, it'll make it through the judgment seat of Christ. If not, it'll burn. So, hey, have at it. Go do your thing. But you're going to wish you hadn't. They're young, us old people. We realize, us old people, the next thing we got to deal with, other than death itself, is the judgment seat of Christ. If we had any brains about our little brain at all, we would realize that, man, I'm just like seconds away from being judged from my walk for all these years of being a Christian, since I truly was saved, and I've got a couple years left. People are asking, what do they want to do with their bucket of things they want to do for the rest of their life before they get too old? That's a kind of an interesting thing to go for, but how about this question? What can you do with the time you have left that will not burn through the judgment seat of Christ? That's what you got to be concerned about. There's another sermon coming up later, too. So anyway, so if you're still with me, Mr. T here, this verse is telling us that more and more people are not interested in Paul's ways. More and more people are not interested in the goodness of God, which is all Paul. Okay? So, yeah, you're right. You're not seeing anybody doing any of this kind of stuff. What you're not seeing is you're not seeing the gospel Christianity. Well, they never could do that. That's just apostolic baloney being preached in the thing. You know, I think you said something else in your in your, let me check this. I think it said something else that was good here. Let's see here. Along those lines. You can even, okay. Okay, along. Hang on, I'm coming here. Okay. Oh yeah, here we go. This is meant, I like how he talks. I still believe, but his hand cannot be seen or felt these days. Okay, now, Mr. T, we don't get his hand and seen or felt. That's not Paul's teachings. That is the Jewish teachings that go along the line. That's the gospel stuff. That's the tribulation stuff. They will feel his hand. They will feel his guidance. We have it in a King James Bible. Rightly divide that thing, and that's all the guidance we need. Where's God? He's in your Bible. And people out there, the Duck Dynasty crowd, the modern Christians, the football-playing Christians, all these modern music Christians, they say they're feeling the hand of God. They say that they recognize God told them to do this. They recognize in their mind that God allows them to sing this kind of music. God isn't going to stop it. Romans chapter 2. God is not going to stop it. He gave us a Bible. He gave it all to us in writing. And if we just read that thing and come to an understanding, we can apply some wisdom by learning Paul. He says, the blessings are gone, or what preachers call, okay, yeah, the blessings from God are gone because that was, again, Jewish stuff. He would bless them, the Gospels. Yes, he blessed them when they did right, and he hammered them when they did. That's the severity of God. For us, we still got the blessings. Our soul is still clean. The law was fulfilled. We don't need to worry about the sin. It's not there anymore. If we sin, it's because it's the sin that's in us. It's not us. That's still a blessing as far as I'm concerned. Then he says a really cool statement. And what preachers call blessings are really the results of compromise leading to some worldly benefit. Yes. Okay, now you got it. I never saw this stuff coming. I know. I tried to tell you for all those years I was back there, Mr. T, that this is what you got to look into, and you will find an entire different series of sermons and things to teach and things to learn, things to teach your family. You know, you had a great series of sermons on who is Paul. You did a fantastic job of that presentation, but you just wouldn't go all the way over to the Paul side. He says, really the result of compromise leading to some worldly benefit. That's right. Never saw this stuff coming. But there is nothing left. Well, I'll show you what's left. We're going to talk about that tonight. Show you what's left. We still have something to do. We still can have a joy. We can be frustrated as all get out. We can be irritated, but we understand why. It can bother us personally because I thought my kids would have to go through this world with Obama and all this kind of stuff. I thought my kids would have to suffer. No, we're still here, and we're watching America go down faster than Superman and a speeding train and that bullet stuff. It's just going right on down. And he says, I focus time with my boys and let the rest be what it is. Yeah, let it be what it is. But what are you going to put on your boys? What do we do? What do we do if we understand all this kind of stuff? If we're recognizing that God, that the goodness of God is not being talked about anymore, nobody wants to live it, then yes, we are very close. Close to what? I'm not going to call it the rapture anymore. I'm going to call it the cutoff. The cutoff. Because that's what he's going to do. He's going to cut off the Gentiles from this whole grafting thing, from this whole party thing. Gentiles are done. But we have to be taken out of the way because we've got the Spirit of God in us. So when the Holy Spirit of God leaves, we go with it. When we leave, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Da-da-da-da, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we got plenty to be excited about. But I know. I'm as guilty as anybody. It's not worse so. It's hard to have that excitement when you're getting older. Hard to have that excitement when your kids or your family is kind of, you know, shut you down. If you do any kind of preach at all, you probably lose your job. You lose your family. See, my thought is this, Mr. T. If you really get excited about this Paul stuff, and Paul is more about the walk, W-A-L-K, than he is about doctrine. The doctrine's a piece of cake, all that spiritual stuff. That's the blessing. Then he spends the rest of that time fact, here, look up. Let's look up this verse. It is, I think it's Corinthians. Let's check it out. Corinthians here. Let me check it out here. Let's go to, I wrote it down, but I didn't write down what was. Let me just look it up here. Hope I don't shove very soft when I do this thing. 1 Corinthians 4:17. Here, but get into some Bible stuff instead of me just yapping and all that. 4:17. This is a huge verse. You hear me talk about it all the time. For this cause, what's the cause? Verse 16, following Paul. Not imitating, following. For this cause, so if you want to follow Paul, here you go. I have sent unto you Timotheus, otherwise known as 1 and 2 Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Not his teachings, his ways. Paul's way of life, manner of life, he calls it. Which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Okay, you got a Bible study to go to? You guys ought to start preaching the ways of Paul. Teach the doctrine too, and I know the ways are still doctrine, but I'm making a division there. Preach what Paul says. Preach what Paul says about living day to day, which we'll go over some of these verses if I don't just continue to ramble all night here. That is one spectacular verse. Timothy will bring into remembrance of my ways, that's Paul, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. That's what your Bible study should be teaching. I've always wondered why. I know you do a lot of this, and a lot of other people do too. They get into the depth of the rapture, they get into the Avril Sharon stuff, you know, and they want to see what's going on. It's very interesting stuff, of course, and it's what it is. What it is what it is. But what's it going to do for your judgment seat of Christ? What's it going to do for your ways, for your walk with Paul? That's bottom line, most important thing right now, is to make sure you're following Paul, rightly divided, which is nothing short of just following the risen Christ. That's all it is. And Christ teaches the goodness of God. And he takes care of the whole thing for us. It's a spectacular time. And we are the ones that, you know, complain a lot about it. Okay, so there's that verse. So there is stuff to do. How many in our little mess, our small little list tonight, but in all the people we got out there, how many of us have attained the walk, the perfect walk? It can be done. There's nothing in Paul's writings that we can't do. We just choose not to, because if we choose to do so, more than likely there will be persecution. And it doesn't mean you're going to be tied to a stake. It doesn't necessarily always mean you're going to be laughed at. It does mean you possibly lose your job. Not that you need to be stupid about it, because a job isn't the place to do your preaching. But, you know, if your wife doesn't get it when your guy gets it, that family's probably going to come apart if the man wants to. But it doesn't have to do that way. It's just that us men, we get a hold of this thing and we start storming down the streets with Paul, remembering, forgetting the fact that Paul said, listen, if you really want to follow me and serve God, you shouldn't be married. You need to stay single. Because you got to take care of the needs of your family and your wife. So you can't just jump into this thing and go wholehearted to God told me to go to Africa to teach this stuff. No, that's not true. You can learn this stuff and you can teach it, but you teach it to your family. But don't scare them. Don't with the meat that you learn, kill the work of God in these people's lives. So there's plenty to teach. There's plenty to teach. There's plenty of things to do. And yes, his hand is on us still. Where is that? It's in that Bible. You don't read his Bible, you won't have God telling you anything. Now, you got the Spirit of God in your life. No problem. That's not a problem thing. But let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you something. This is another sermon coming up sometime. Who knows when? 2 Thessalonians. Or do I want 1 Thessalonians? I think I want 1 Thessalonians. Let's see here. There it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here we go. This is something I don't think we all realize as much as we should. Okay, now, Mr. T, I'm going on now. I'm going to show you what there is to do, what there is to know, what we can still deal with as a Christian, as a sincere Christian, actually as a real Christian, knowing that the goodness of God is still in my heart, still in my mind, still in my messages, even though I get pretty grumpy about the walk, I just hate to see people commit themselves to a world of misery when they don't need to when they're young. I hate to see people do stuff that they know and I know that that's just going to bring the judgment seat of Christ. Why are you doing this? It's the sin that's in me. I'm not doing it. You're just choosing to follow sin. I realize that. It's not that big a deal, but it is a big deal. It's my job to preach and teach that. If you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, it really shouldn't be my concern, but I somehow make it my concern. And I get all frustrated and da-da-da-da. Okay. So anyway, get back on the trail here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. See, all these things that we know we should do to follow Paul, the ways that he talks about from Timothy, for example, and yet we all tend to wear clothes that are probably not modest. We all probably let our flesh win a lot of battles. You know, what we read, what we watch, where we go, what we wear, you know, how we talk, all the things that Paul talks about, we're probably not doing some of that stuff, et cetera, et cetera. There's probably some stuff that we think is good based on our American culture, and God doesn't care about it. Not even an issue. But here's a problem that I think we tend to forget. Well, because we have the liberty of Christ. We have liberty. Remember? Although it shouldn't cause, see if I can do this, shouldn't cause somebody to stumble. It should be edifying the body of Christ. It should be edifying. It should be, I knew I couldn't do it. Edifying. It should be the right thing to do. What's the word? Not edify, but it begins with E. Expedient. So it should be the right thing to do. And you shouldn't be brought under the power of it. And here we go. I just can't ever do that one. Expedient, edify. Now, not an occasion for the flesh. Okay? Cause somebody to stumble and brought under the power of. You know, we still have the liberty to do that stuff, but it'll burn. You have the liberty to do something that's not expedient. You have the liberty to do something that's not edifying. You have the liberty to cause somebody else to stumble. That's their problem, not mine. You are caught under the power of something. And will cause, and you know you're following your flesh. It's an occasion for the flesh. We have the liberty to do that, and God isn't going to funk us over it, because it's not applied. It's not Romans chapter 4. It's not. Come on now. It's not. It's not. My memory is just really going down. Imputed. It's not imputed to us. So what's the problem? Well, the problem is, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. So if we wonder sometimes why things just aren't just grand by following Paul, whatever, we've got things going on in our lives that honestly quench the Spirit. Right? We got liberty to do stuff, but we still get the Spirit of God in us. You think that Spirit of God is enjoyable to the stuff we watch? The stuff we see, the places we go, does he want to go there with us? See, he's still the Holy Spirit, but we can quench him. So the Holy Spirit is quenched. You can read your Bible and not get going on anything, because the Spirit of God is quenched. But we have the knowledge, and we have the skill, and we have the training and the ability to go beyond that and make it happen still. And before you know it, you're miserable, you're unhappy, you don't get it, you lost your glow. You don't understand the Paul stuff because you're getting quenched. And before you know it, you're not interested and you're gone. So, that's a serious thing. Four words, quench not the Spirit. How would you quench the Spirit? But whatever it is that Paul says, the liberty and those strings that are attached, those strings, if we do those things, that's going to quench the Spirit of God. You think sitting down by a television watching some of these ridiculously stupid sitcoms and the Holy Spirit's going to sit there and watch them with you? And the list goes on and on, right? So, yeah, there is stuff to do. There is things to study. There is a way to keep going in this world. Yes, we're getting closer and closer to the cutoff. No doubt about it. The government is going to world order. There's so many crazy things going on out there. There's so many antichrist-looking things going on that, it's got to be getting really close to cutoff. Not the rapture, but the cutoff. The rapture is about being taken up, which would be us. But the word is they're going to cut off the Gentiles, and obviously we got to get out of here then. Or maybe we're already gone. Maybe the cutoff, maybe there's nobody left. And the rest of the Gentiles are cut off. Remember Ruckman's big booklet, Millions Disappear? No, I don't buy that at all anymore. I think most of the honest, solid Christians will actually be gone before he finally cuts off the rest of them, because nobody's interested in Paul. Nobody's interested in the goodness of God. And if there's nobody out there, I think that's a pretty good clue. Boom, that's when he cuts it off. Maybe we've all died by then. And the few that are left will be raptured, if you want to call it that. But that's when it's going to come. Okay, so now with that in mind, let's see. That's good enough. We got some time here. Let's look at some things. For those of us who are bummed because things are just really going inhale, you breathe in hard. I don't use the S word. I just use inhale. Boy, that really inhales kind of a thing. And you know, what do we do with all this stuff going on? I'm preaching to myself because what do we do? Oh, man. Well, we'll go to Colossians for one thing. We'll go to Colossians for a second. We'll go to Colossians chapter 3. That's probably a good place to look at here. We probably don't like this one because we have a tendency to get involved in the world. We got our hunting, shooting, nothing wrong with hunting and shooting. But how much time does that take up for you? Whatever. But here we go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, which we all say we are, you, Mr. T, as well, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a pretty tough thing to do there, especially when you got kids and a wife. I mean, they don't understand what you're talking about unless they do, and you taught them from the beginning kind of a thing. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, how do you know if I set your affection on things on the earth? Well, what'd you get for Christmas? What'd you buy people for Christmas? How'd that do? Well, you should see. I had kids come in here. I got what I wanted. Oh, that's too bad, kid, because now, you know. Here's why. For ye are dead. Now, here we are. This is us. We're dead. And our life, or your life, is hid with Christ in God. So why wouldn't you want to hear about the goodness of God? And if you hear about the goodness of God, why wouldn't you, for reasonable service, do the things that please God? And if you think there's nothing to apply today for preaching, or think there's nothing to do anymore, just read Timothy and Titus. He says, when verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, remember we live by the faith of Christ, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him. Oh, so that tells me that I'm probably going to have to leave this life so I can appear with him. Oh, really? That's interesting. Then he says, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, and there they go with the list. That's what lost people die over. So why do we saved people still do them? Because it's our flesh that still does that stuff. So if any one of us ever give in to the big F or the big A or the big W or whatever, you know, that's why we need each other so much. That's how you need your Bible. You get back into the Bible anytime. You quench the spirit? You bet you did. But did he leave? No. Is it imputed? No. You mean Christ isn't going to impute that to me, the stuff I did? No, he's not really. He paid for that. I mean, that's why his death and resurrection is so important. See, I really think that people don't even think about Christ's death and resurrection. They just know he's Jesus. You know, he's kind of like God, and he'll make me better. They just forgot what that means. When he died and he took upon sin, he took all of our stuff. He fulfilled the law, and now this sin that goes on is not imputed. For when there is no law, there is no sin. Let's go to Romans. We are made free from sin. We just aren't set free, as they say. We're made free. That's Romans 6, 22. Don't you think people would rather hear that? Wouldn't you rather be made free from sin instead of just set free? Because if you're set free, you can go back to it, as everybody seems to do. But if we're made free and we go back to it, you know what? We're still clean. You're kind of a lousy child of God, but you know, but it can be done. You get on here to verse 13 of chapter 5. For until the law, sin was in the world. Okay, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And Romans chapter 10, Christ took care of the law for righteousness. So, based on us, who we are on the inside, our soul, and we do something wrong, well, it really isn't sin anymore because he fulfilled the law. And sin is not imputed. It's not been imputed to me. So, nothing's happening. Although he did quench the spirit. This is the kind of stuff that I wrote. Remember I said about a month ago. Why do people think we've gone nuts? This is why. We actually believe this Bible to be the one and only scriptures. And when you go to Paul only, rightly divide that thing, that's just some of the farthest outest stuff you can read. Because we believe it's true. Marvelous, just marvelous stuff. I think there's something in Romans 5, I guess that, yeah. Okay, so that's pretty good stuff, I think, Colossians there. Let's go down and look at another one here. Let's look at Titus. You don't know what to apply? Your comment was there's nothing new to apply to today. Oh yeah. Let's go to Titus. Just get up in front of a crowd of people, or just a few of them, and don't be arrogant about it and just say, this is what the Bible says. But let's look at Titus chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 15. So we're going to start a series on Titus chapter 2, ladies and gentlemen. And read verse 15. These things, that would be chapter 2. Okay. Speak, okay, fine, and exhort, and rebuke. Ooh, they're not coming back to Bible study next week. Well, why not? What's so bad about Titus chapter 2? Well, let's see. We go up to verse 2. You want to preach to old men, aged men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Sound in faith? They got to learn this Paul stuff, Galatians chapter 2 and all that. How about an old woman, aged woman? Uh-oh, those are dangerous. Got the $50 earrings and the makeup that you could, take a stick and rub somebody else with it and still cover them up. They've got the fancy hairdos or the nice expensive wig. Or they walk around, you know, and they've been Christians for years. And you want to preach this? The aged woman, likewise means you review verse 2. That they, being behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And how about the young people? You got a couple of nice young kids coming to your church, Bible study, whatever. Women, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. I can't afford that. Good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Oh, that'll bring everybody back next week. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Are you kidding? Our guys are just goofy all the time. Sober-minded. In all things, showing themselves a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Who loves to go off in the corner and start cuss up a mean streak, you know? That he is of the contrary part may be ashamed. So you got your boys and people have to get there to the boys and everything. So these boys ought to be the kind of a Christian that other people around them are, not because they preach at them, They're just ashamed because what they choose to do and choose not to do. Or they just choose to go along as a crowd. Teaching us, verse 9, here we go. Service, people that work, got jobs, not exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. How many times do we complain about our boss? How many times do we not quite do the job good enough because who's he to, Okay, so there's more verses. This tough stuff. Go ahead. Preach that in your Bible study. Preach that to the ladies. Preach that to the older men. Preach that to the boys. Preach that to the girls in the church that comes. Put it on them. Do it nicely. Just tell them, listen, this is the stuff that won't burn for your judgment seat of Christ. And it says right here, I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to speak and exhort and rebuke. I'm supposed to do it with all authority. We know what the authority is. It's the King James Bible. It's not me. It's the Bible. And then you got to remind yourself, let no man despise thee. You know they will. Just don't let it bother you. Let no man despise thee doesn't mean you can walk up to them and punch them out because they despise you. I'm not going to let you despise me, buddy. No, it just don't let them bother you. Oh, we got plenty of stuff to do, don't we? Let's look at... Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm not talking about getting religious. I'm not talking about having a big, long list of do's and don'ts. I'm just talking about read what Paul says and let him see what he says. It wasn't 100 years ago. People just went they got saved and they didn't park in the Gospels. They went right through the Jesus, right up into Paul and the whole bit. They knew that. Now that since the late 1800s, William Carey, I think it is, created that Great Commission baloney and made a big thing and brought all these signs and wonders and God's blessings and feeling God in your life, brought that back to American churches, and now we got people that think that that's the way God operates, and it's not. They threw the Bible right out. Look at the music that's coming into the churches. Aye. Look at the preaching. Preaching, that isn't preaching. That's not even teaching. That's just kissing behind so somebody can feel good about themselves. There's no hard preaching going on. And the goodness of God is all about the fact that God just makes you feel good. That's not what Paul is about, the goodness of God. So, what are we looking up here? What are we doing? Okay, we're looking at... I haven't got a clue. I mean, why do I have Titus? Okay, looking at... No, I'm not looking at there. 2 Corinthians 4:10. There we go. Somebody type that? Nope. Anybody there? Yep. 2 Corinthians 4:10. Here's a good verse for us. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Question. Which life of Jesus do you want to bear about in your body? Well, it's not the Jewish Jesus in the Gospels. Is it the Jesus in the tribulation? No way. It's got to be Paul's Gospels. So if you bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, we know he went through that, that's gospel there. But remember, the New Testament doesn't begin until the testator is gone. And so when it says here that the life also of Jesus, that's the risen Savior life, that's what Paul teaches, needs to be manifest to other people. Okay, so how are you doing? See, there's something to work on. It's not a sermon for anybody else. It's not something you can tell somebody to work. It's for you. How are you doing when you have Paul in your life? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 2, might be 1. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 here. So what do people see when you don't say that you know that you're saved and everything here? What do they get to see here? 1 Thessalonians 1:9. These guys are having a great job in Macedonia, and it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So, in these days, these people did the right thing. That's hard. to do the right thing. It shows that Paul and his teachings entered in. Does anybody ever ask you, well, are you following the risen Savior or the Jewish Savior? Well, he's here to save everybody, so that's, but you know what they're asking. You know, they've been to these other churches, and this is what they're told. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4:10, same thing in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, as now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. We have to, you know, we can't be like a kid, because he says here, that in nothing shall I be ashamed. Just because you're not ashamed of your stuff that you're doing doesn't mean it's right. Yes, these kids are not ashamed the way they dress. These kids are not ashamed of the fact that they don't want to learn a thing. These kids, they're not going to be ashamed that their whole life is based around basketball, if even that. They're not. No, we're talking about the fact that you, it's like when you ladies walk in and you're dressed like a lady instead of another teenage paunchy little young lady or whatever you want. Stay out of that one, okay? And is that okay? Well, here we go. How do you define modesty? Do you know modesty 20 years ago, 30, 40, back in the 30s and 40s, showed more innards than they do today sometimes? Nobody cared then. Yes, but the sexual revolution didn't take place until Hugh Hefner came along. And now, because of all that, all the pornography, now you ladies are afraid to go out in public because everybody looks at not your face. And they lust and they desire and you are uncomfortable. And you should be. Well, that's, I can do that. Yeah, you can. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Quite possibly. Your own kids, maybe, or maybe somebody else that sees what you're wearing, and now you have the liberty to wear that, but then if they do it, and they get raped or attacked or something, see how much you helped them? That's just an extreme illustration, but still. We're looking at living your day with a risen Savior in your walk, and that's Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, that's the stuff through Paul. Gospels are not written to us. Hebrews, to the end, not written to us. You still read it. It just tells you about the gospel days. It just tells you about the tribulation. It just tells you about after the tribulation is over, when Christ rules again. It's after the Old Testament stuff, though we sure don't need to apply that stuff. Okay. Should we do one more? Good idea. Let's do one more. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go back just a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's a challenge for you. Are you satisfied? Are you sufficient? Are you fine? Well, there's verses to look into here. Like, you know, to answer your question, there's nothing new or applicable today. There is so much stuff to preach that's applicable today. Unfortunately, it's mostly about the walk. Philippians 4:9. Look at that one, Philippians 4:9. How more obvious can you get? Philippians 4:9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lonely, whatsoever things are of good report, it's pretty much everything. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, throw them off on the shelf? No. Think on these things. That's the stuff. We got plenty to do. And when good old Mr. T said, I see the end getting closer and closer. Yeah, we do. When's the closest going to come? When nobody wants to hear about Paul. There's your criteria right there. When they don't want to hear about the goodness of God in the King James Bible rightly divided through Paul, it's over. So maybe we should just quit trying to tell people? That's the thought. Now we probably better try to tell people, right? Sure we should. So there's a general thing about tonight. There's a question and answers were supposed to be shorter, but this email that I received just lit a light bulb up in my eyes. People need to know this stuff, that there's God is not going to physically turn and bless you physically. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, our blessings are spiritual. Well, what about the day when he got me this house, kind of a thing? What about the day when your car wrecked? We are such people that we can make things look like we got blessed by God. And I'm the first one to say, it's so much easier to live for God when you got a lot of money. It just is. And I know some people that have a lot of money, you know, and I just think, man, couldn't you just give me a couple thousand for the website here? Wouldn't this would help us so much? Couldn't somebody just put in a new computer so I could get the faster stuff and quit playing with all this junk that's going on? Where are these people that give all this money to these crummy people in this world? Where are our Christian people that have money? Well, maybe they don't. Hebrews 13 is pretty strong about love of money and stuff. Obviously, I'm not rolling in dough. But I will say, all you folks out there that have sent financial contributions, I'm sorry they're not tax deductible because I'm just me, but you helped me pay the bills again this month, so I think I've got $47 left over, so I can buy some, maybe what can I get for $47? I could probably get probably some really good, I have to go to Wall Drug to get some good donuts, though, so we can't do that. Anyway, there's your stuff. There's your question and answers. And Mr. T, I hope you listen to this. I might try to do part two on Sunday morning because I've got more notes here. I just kind of rambled. This is Wednesday night. This is right in the middle of school for me. And I'm just, my mind has got 1,000 things to do when we get done here. So I will leave it at that. I will tell you folks good night. We kept it under an hour as far as the main sermon part. But anyway, good to see you there, Gary. Good to see you there, Mark. And I know that Andrea and Argyle and William, Daniel and Bob Harris and Craig and Clarence and Garlicks and Don and Eric and Eric and Jeanette and Gary and Gary, oh, one of those Garys there, and Dan and the Gunkles and Hugh and Mel, Joe and John and Julie and Mark. Oh, Mark's right there already. The other Mark, Noelia, our corporal guy, Phil, Rick D, Rick Trout there. We got Bob R, Sam, Shane, Sharon, Stephen, and Victor and Peter. You'll be listening to this, too, over the next week or so. So that's good to hear you. Good to hear from you. So this is it. Good night from Studio, Studio 210 in the North Tundra of the American Siberian of the 48 states. We will see you folks on Sunday, I hope.